We talk a lot on this podcast about elections.
A whole lot, yeah.
We dedicate a lot of time to people like Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis. Two people we'll be talking about today.
Two people we'll be talking about a lot throughout the next year.
But I actually wanted to start off this episode with a real hardcore news story.
Okay.
Not just some random thing that we talk about, you know, off the cuff.
Exactly.
Real piece of news for the introduction today.
Okay.
I have a headline from Politico. It says, Ron DeSantis agrees to debate Gavin Newsom on Fox News. And if this isn't like the most online news story of all time, I don't know what is.
Like, what is DeSantis and his campaign doing? Why
I don't know.
Why would they think that this would ever be a good idea to do? Just to engage in another random, unnecessary debate? Is the idea here like, oh yeah, Gavin Newsom, California, they represent everything that is the communist left?
That's got to be it,
right? So if we can get on Fox News' debate stage and win in the marketplace of ideas, so we can get some points?
But that's my thing, is that before even getting into the article, you're not running against Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the GOP electorate that's going to be swayed away from Donald Trump to vote for you by your stance on Gavin Newsom's policies.
Especially when
nobody
it's hosted
cares.
On Fox News.
Yeah. No, nobody cares how you feel about Gavin Newsom. You're not running against Gavin Newsom.
Exactly.
This is how you know that Ron DeSantis, not only does he not have any real political instincts, he has anti-political instincts. There's no reason to do this, especially because Gavin Newsom is like weird and as much as I don't really like the guy, he's going to stomp all over Ron DeSantis.
Oh, absolutely,
I've seen Gavin Newsom debate before. He basically debated Sean Hannity and rolled him over on a recent Fox News exclusive that happened. Ron DeSantis has everything to lose here. Gavin Newsom, someone who's not running for president, has nothing to lose by doing this. He only has things to gain.
It's such an unnecessary risk for no reason.
Yes,
bro needs to fire more of his campaign staff.
You got to wonder if it was just him who agreed to this, though.
It's just him. It's just hubris.
But let's get into this news story. It says here, Governors Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom have tentatively agreed to debate one hosted by Fox News. The Florida Republican and California Democrat have repeatedly sparred over policies in their respective states, each representing one side of the ideological spectrum, though occupying different political perches. DeSantis, a Republican, is trailing former President Trump for the Republican presidential nomination, while Newsom, a Democrat, has brushed aside questions about his own presidential ambitions to become a superdelegate of sorts for President Joe Biden. I mean, this is just classic Politico doing political things, just kind of meandering
political
about
politicking,
A showdown between the two seemed unlikely as DeSantis ramped up his presidential campaign, but Newsom has still spent months trying to entice his counterpart into joining him on stage.
Dating him?
Yeah, on Wednesday, DeSantis, and this is how you know, like, DeSantis fell for it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like, he got him.
If Gavin Newsom is for months going after you to try to get you to do this,
don't do it.
As entrenched within the DNC as he is, like, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You're stupid.
Yeah, it was all a ploy and you just fell for it. On Wednesday, DeSantis agreed, telling Fox News' Sean Hannity, absolutely, I'm game. Just tell me. Sorry, let me do the voice. Telling Fox News' Sean Hannity, absolutely, I'm game. Just tell me when and where. It's the sugar, man. An aide to Newsom told Politico that the governor was also in. So Newsom and DeSantis have both agreed, apparently.
Nice.
Newsom's office had sent a formal request offer to Fox News last week with the proposed debate dates of November 8th or November 10th. That request called for Hannity to serve as a sole moderator for a 90-minute forum on Fox News that would not include an in-studio audience and would air live. This is how you know Newsom's got his number.
Oh, absolutely.
Newsom said, put it on Fox News, put it. Do it with Hannity, someone that already is in the side of Ron DeSantis, and I'll still win. 90 minutes, live on air, no
Fox
audience.
Fox News, no audience?
No audience.
Oh, okay. All
Newsom
right,
said,
I guess.
No interruptions, live on air with a moderator that is already on your side and it's over for you. DeSantis is so stupid.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's and 2 weeks after the RNC debate, or not the RNC, the primary debate.
In November. It's in November.
Oh, that's right. I'm missing September.
There is going to be other
like
GOP debates. There might be one in October. So it might be around the same time. But like
2 months later.
November is pretty close to the primaries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They start in January or February for Iowa, for the Republicans,
like
I believe.
That, yeah.
So, I mean, this could be like bad for him. We don't know where he's going to be come November, but I can't imagine this will help him in any way.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Finishing out this article, it says, a debate would, to put it mildly, be an unpredicted event in modern presidential politics, even in the age of a seemingly endless cable news town halls. For DeSantis, it would provide a new venue, an opponent to contrast his record in Florida after spending weeks bogged down in process stories about layoffs, tightened campaign budgets, and nervous GOP donors. Newsom, should a debate happen, would feel the weight of his political party on his shoulders. I don't think
really?
That's the case. Under a national spotlight brighter than he's experienced before. Like he did opposite Hannity in a recent sit-down interview, he would be forced to defend attacks about the progressive policies in his own state, as well as President Biden's record. In a letter, Newsom's office proposed three separate debate sites, Nevada, Georgia, or North Carolina. I'm guessing that's intentional,
yeah.
Given their importance for presidential elections. But yeah, this is just another example of Ron DeSantis having no idea what the fuck he's doing.
Absolutely fumbling the bat. Mm-hmm. Trump would never. And yeah. Rightfully so, for the sake of Trump's own campaign.
Yeah, well, and Gavin Newsom being the California liberal, you know, the communist from California, is someone that you talk about when you want to just dunk on liberals for the sake of gaining more supporters on your own side.
Yeah.
You don't actually ever engage with him.
No.
You're not supposed to do it.
You only want to use him as a piece.
Yeah.
You only want to use him as a talking point.
You talk about Newsom and formerly Cuomo in New York as a proxy for talking about how bad liberal cities are.
Yeah.
In liberal states. That's why you talk about these people. You never actually debate them and get fucking stomped on home turf.
You say, look at LA County. Newsom and his policies did this. You don't say what the policies are.
No.
You don't go and talk to the man.
Especially because when you have someone like Newsom on, someone who's a decent orator and can defend his political position, someone who's not senile like Joe Biden, you lose the argument like Sean Hannity did. And Ron DeSantis will if this ever actually happens.
And
it's
so
stupid.
I have not seen Ron DeSantis thrive in a setting that hasn't been wholly controlled by him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he does a media appearance, he does something crazy. He flubs. Anytime he takes questions from someone where it's not an already an organized mm-hmm. press conference that's for him, he doesn't know what to say. He fucks it up. Mm-hmm. He's not good at taking questions. He's not good at defending himself and thinking on the spot.
Last week we covered the Jake Tapper interview that he did. DeSantis, obviously, if this debate ever happens, will have a chance to prepare for it, similar to how he probably did for the Jake Tapper thing. But Jake Tapper, softball questions.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even try, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, questions that, a conservative would have asked Ron DeSantis. But if he's in the room with someone who is ideologically opposed to him, as Gavin Newsom is, even though he's just a neoliberal, basically, then he's in the room with someone who's actually going to defend what Joe Biden is doing, you're just having a debate with someone who's going to make you look bad.
And it's
someone who's trying to make you look bad because he wants to score points with his base and he wants DeSantis to look as bad as possible because he's a fucking Republican.
Exactly. Jake Tapper, you could make the argument that in his talk with DeSantis, it wasn't even framed as a debate. It was a sit-down interview. You can make the argument that CNN has been trying to pivot to more center-ish things because 100%. Their ratings fucking suck.
They've said as much.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why he didn't go as hard on him. Gavin Newsom has none of those restrictions on him.
Not at all.
He's in office. He won his office.
He's solely a political actor.
He's there. Nothing's holding him back.
Well, and that's why I said Gavin Newsom has nothing to lose. If Gavin Newsom goes in, performs poorly, he's not good. He's not running for president. He's got no poll numbers to go down.
He's not running for president. I don't think he's even up for re-election for another couple years.
Yeah. Well, even if he was, California.
Yeah.
He's got absolutely nothing to lose. Ron DeSantis is trying to catch up to Donald Trump. You're not going to do that by looking awful in front of a liberal.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he's thinking, but I thought that was a really cool headline.
I can't, looking back on the last couple of months before Ron DeSantis actually officially announced his campaign, I am embarrassed to say that I thought that this guy was going to get out here and be a significant challenger.
Oh, yeah.
Scary on the campaign trail, because everything that he's done has been a massive fuck up.
Yeah, I feel very embarrassed. My former self did not know how to anticipate how good Ron DeSantis would be. And to our credit, he really wasn't out in the public very much. Uh-huh. He wasn't doing many interviews. Now we know why. But Ron DeSantis, I think, is truly ideologically committed to the project of fascism, but we underestimated how fucking stupid fascists are. Donald Trump, he might not be fully committed to fascism. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, doesn't really matter, but he's a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And we've always known Donald Trump is a charismatic guy. He does every interview he can get his hands on. Ron DeSantis, we now know, has avoided all these interviews, all these press appearances, media appearances for a specific reason. It's because he does not know how to handle himself. He does not know what he's doing.
It's like he's socially stunted.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to interact with people. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's funny. Like that. There was like two things. There was last week he was at some dinner and he just like blurts out laughing at some reporter. He's like, okay, let's go talk to people now.
I don't even think she said anything funny. She like asked him a question. He goes, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. And then there's some kid and he walks up. He's like, what's that? An icy? Oh, that's a lot of sugar. And then he walks away. He doesn't know how to interact with people. Trump would be handing out Big Macs.
Absolutely. Trump would be lying about paying for your dinner.
Joe Biden at least is buying shit from Dairy Queen. You know what
I
mean?
Like, at least you can see Joe Biden like with the double scoop ice cream.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, like, all right, that's kind of wholesome. Like, he's a grandpa.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis gets out there and fucking laughs mouth wide open.
He's just got no political instincts, and it's really showing, and it's hurting him.
God.
And we couldn't have known back then.
You would have thought that he completely locked down Florida the way that he cannot interact with another human.
Yeah, well, I think it's the curse of being from Florida. Like, it is just, it's the garbage disposal of the United States, or it's where all the garbage goes, politically at the very least. And if you're from Florida, you have to adopt a certain kind of politics that makes you unviable to the rest of the country. And in the case of Ron DeSantis, he's also just like, I don't know, antisocial. I don't know how to frame
it. He personally sucks.
Yeah. Does not interact with people, and he's bad at politics, and he's committed to fascism.
Plus L, plus ratio.
Plus ratio, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. We got a lot of news to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Trump got indicted again.
Again.
Got to talk about that.
Big charges this time.
We got a whole lot of other news as well.
Some other little funky stories that have happened across the country. A little bit more Florida news, a little bit more Ron news. You know what's going on.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about. I got my coffee with me. I'm ready for the episode.
Uh-huh.
And if you guys are ready for the episode, then I will implore you to go down to the description. Go to headintheoffice.com and get yourself some Head in the Office merch. We're still selling it. Many of you have already got your merch. Send us pictures. Drop pictures in the Discord. We've liked them. We love seeing you guys with the merch that we got. So check it out and get yourself something. There's something for everybody.
I know someone asked in our DMs whether or not it can ship internationally. And I'm not quite sure about that, but I think it can.
We'll figure it out.
You can always just go and check because the website we do it through, they handle the shipping. So it should be able to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Try it and let me know.
Yeah. We'll figure something out, but go check out the merch.
Exactly.
Get yourself some merch.
At the very least, just look, browse, peruse.
Yeah. See if you felt like any of it.
You might be swayed.
Exactly. Also, if you want to support the show, as always, you can go to patreon.com/headintheofficepod. Become a patron, get early access to all of our episodes,
yes,
and of course, be aware of everything we're doing before anybody else.
And of course, be one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Be one of our friends.
Close, intimate,
be
social
right
friends.
Here sitting with us, having a conversation with the cup of Joe.
And you can also, if you didn't come from TikTok, I'd be surprised.
I'd be very surprised.
But if you didn't come from TikTok, you could head over to TikTok, become one of our 70,000 followers.
70,000? You know we just hit it earlier.
Yeah, we're on the come up, so go check us out there as well. Follow the Upwire on YouTube. Everything is in the description there for you. Follow us on Twitter or X, as it's now known.
Join the Discord.
Yeah.
If you want to engage in a little leftist community.
And another thing you can do, leave a 5-star Apple review.
Yes,
we don't got any today.
And I'm sick of it.
I'm sick of it,
and
too. We got any on Instagram?
Sick and tired. We have one Instagram review today from PJ Mukam. I hope I said that right.
Mm.
Just wanted to say hi from Canada, French Canada. I found you guys through TikTok a couple months ago. I've been binging your show since then, and now I'm quickly running out of episodes to listen to. Your show has made me obsessed with American politics and how fucking chaotic it is. I'm glad to finally have a political podcast with younger people sharing the same views as me. Thank you for bringing news in a fun and interesting way. Keep up the good fight. P.S. Yes, fuck the French, fucking Calouis. I don't got a French bone in my body, gang.
Amen. Well, I mean, again, as I've said before, I do my burden to bear. I understand.
it's my
French,
cross
like,
to bear.
The number two villains of all of the world history. So I understand.
Ridiculous. That was on purpose.
Exactly.
I'm opposed.
Time to get into the news. First piece of news we got to talk about is a big one.
Probably the biggest thing that happened this week.
It's actually the, third installment and maybe what's going to be the greatest trilogy of all time. You know, we're talking about a Trump indictment. What happened is a third indictment against former president and current frontrunner for the GOP primary for president, Donald Trump, was revealed regarding the January 6th insurrection. It was unveiled by Jack Smith. This is the same special counsel from the DOJ that's prosecuting Trump for the documents case. Mm. This one, though, of course, as I said, has to do with January 6th,
bro's got
which we've been waiting
full.
On. We've been waiting on this one
this
for a while.
This is the juicy one.
Yeah.
The documents is whatever. Like, okay, the J6 is where all the meat is.
Yeah. The documents one is like, yeah, you know, he was stashing national secrets and potentially revealing them to other people. But this one is like, you know, he tried to overthrow the government. So
there's a lot more meat to this one.
Like in the order, in the degrees of severity, this one's maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
This is a 45-page indictment, and I think in total we got 4 charges. 2 of them are similar, related to obstruction of justice.
Okay.
But we got 4 independent charges. The first one is conspiracy to defraud the United States.
Nice.
This one lays out how Trump and his team specifically targeted 7 different states to overturn the election results. You guys may remember talk about the fake set of electors that they were sending to different states. That's what this is about. They tried to do this in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. They tried to send these alternate slate of electors to the state capitol on the day when they were all signing, affirming which person won that state, and they were going to try to replace theirs
just to lie
with the ones that were going to sign for Biden, which you can't do. you can't overthrow democracy. Surprise, surprise.
Which is also just kind of, to me, just the fact that they think that they could have got away with that makes me think, why do we even have to have electors that go and cast their vote when we already have the results of the vote that, like, I cast my vote for?
It's holy procedure, and that's just what the Electoral College is.
Like, why is there an extra step that things could go wrong in?
Yeah, well, I think it's a relic of the past that was kept around because nobody tried to, like, destroy it beforehand.
Yeah.
Although we've had election kerfuffles in the past, like when the Supreme Court literally stole the election for George Bush. But that's a whole other case that we don't have to talk about right now. But I think it's because that's what the Electoral College is. It was like originally a set of people that would go to the state capitol to affirm the results of an election for president.
Yeah.
But now it's merely a procedural thing because we just go by popular vote by state, not as the country as a whole.
Yeah.
Which is why, it's still fucked up, of course.
It's just so silly. Why is there an extra step?
Yeah.
Why?
If there's ever an argument to replace the Electoral College that you would think would resonate with liberals, it'd be this one.
Exactly.
But, well, maybe we'll get to that one day. The indictment also specifically notes that Trump had every right to speak out about election results. He had a right to challenge them in court. He even had a right to lie under the First Amendment if he really wanted to. But the indictment argues that he knowingly lied while he knew that he lost, and he still tried to change the election results. That's the important sticking point, is Jack Smith in this indictment is saying, like, yeah, Trump, you can lie under the First Amendment. You're not going to get prosecuted for lying. But if you do that at the same time that you know that you're lying and you're trying to overturn election results, that's where you're going to go to jail.
Isn't the legal standard like actual malice?
Right.
Like, you can't be prosecuted just for lying. You can be prosecuted if you knew that lying would cause harm or do something bad.
Yeah. And in that similar vein, the indictment lists numerous times that Trump blatantly lied knowingly about election fraud. There were stories about dead voters voting that Trump knowingly lied about, vote dumps, ballot harvesting, that kind of thing, where he was told many times by people on his own team, people that are listed in this indictment, not named specifically, but we know who they are. He was told that, like, yeah, this isn't real. And he still went along doing it regardless. Also, fun fact, the Georgia phone call, the perfect phone call, is in the Trump indictment.
That's so good.
This is the phone call where Trump basically called the Secretary of State, I think Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, and he said, yeah, find me 11,780 votes. The exact number he needed to win the state. And if that's not, I think that's the most damning piece of this whole thing.
On tape, like, I'm glad that that's finally materializing in something that can get him in trouble.
Yeah.
Because it was the most insane act of this whole, like, thing.
The most insane and also the most unnecessary.
Yeah.
You could have rounded up.
You could have said, buy me 14. Find me 20,000.
He said, there's 15,000 votes out there. I know, like, you could have rounded up, had some plausible deniability, but he said the exact number of votes he needed to win. And if that's not the perfect argument for
actual malice,
idea that Trump literally tried to steal the election knowingly, I don't know what to tell you.
Like, you could say there's got to be at least 15,000 votes that you might have missed.
Yeah.
There's got to be at least 13,571 votes that you missed. Come on.
It's just like, it was right there. You didn't have to. But that is in here, and he's getting charged for that. The next charge is conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. This was directing protesters to the Capitol, saying that he'll be there, he'll march with them, when we knew that he wouldn't. A lot of this information is stuff that we've already covered back when the Jan 6 trial was, or the Jan 6 committee hearings was happening. So a lot of information is back there, and it's also listed in this indictment. There's also a text of some email listed in the indictment that was one of Trump's allies emailing Pence's office saying, just break the law a little bit so that we can get this done. Like, just admitting it. They have a, just like Hunter Biden, they have a terrible tendency to just put themselves in video or in writing committing crimes and doing things. Yeah.
An email is crazy.
Yeah. So that's a funny one. The other obstruction of justice charge is, there's another one related to this, although I don't know specifically how it differs, but that's in there as well. And the last one is a conspiracy against rights, specifically the right to vote and have one votes counted. This is the act of fraudulently overturning an election,
okay,
which would nullify all of our right to have our vote counted because he's overturning election results.
Exactly, which so, I'd imagine ties into the sending the slate of fake electors.
Yeah, and there was some evidence in there that Trump was basically saying, or one of Trump's aides, somebody on the I don't know, criminal team for Donald Trump was saying that they would use the military to squash protests if they successfully got away with overturning the election.
Oh, cool.
So pretty sick.
Nice, nice.
Pretty sick that they just had a game plan. Now, in this indictment, there's also a list of six unindicted co-conspirators, and they've mostly been identified at this point. The first one is Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yeah. Favorite. Bro just was, he lied.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, there. He just went to court and lied. He went to court and held, like, basically fake proceedings. Uh-huh. Got disbarred for it.
Yeah, wasn't their record like 0 to 70 or something like that?
Yeah, it was like 0 to 71. And Rudy Giuliani specifically, in some of his cases, he would show up and I think it wasn't that he wouldn't say anything, but the judge would ask him something or opposing counsel would ask something and he'd just be like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I don't know if I can answer that.
They would offer all these arguments in press conferences when talking to the media. Then they'd get in the courtroom and not say anything
they couldn't,
like that.
They knew they'd perjure themselves.
Yeah, you can't just lie. Then we got John Eastman, who's a lawyer, who's been on Trump's team for a while. Sidney Powell, the Kraken.
Nice. Love her.
Yeah, she's a fan favorite. Jeffrey Clark, who was a DOJ official. This dude named Kenneth Cheesebro, a lawyer. It's a real person.
I can only make fun of him because he's a bad person.
That's like having someone on your team that's like Roman spaghetti. Just not real. And then the last one seems pretty, I really wasn't sure who this person was supposed to be. Other news sources says they weren't sure either.
Okay.
They're listed as a political consultant, and the New York Times said they were somebody named Boris Epstein.
That's a fake fucking job, by the way.
Yeah, like, not real, of course. Not Epstein. Epstein is spelled a little differently. I don't know who that person is, but they've been listed in this indictment as well, apparently.
Cool.
Now, if we, stepping outside of the indictment,
all right.
Trump had to appear in court. And he did appear in court last week, and he pled not guilty to these charges. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, wow.
Jack Smith said he wants to get a quick trial through, and the judge appointed to the case has notoriously been very harsh on January 6th rioters. This judge is really bad, or not bad,
real?
But really harsh on these rioters. I think she's been known for giving more than the requested sentence by prosecution
to
January 6th rioters. I'm going to say law and order, baby. Law and order, baby. Come on now.
That's so fucked. Oh, my God.
Trump had something to say about it, though.
Okay.
On Truth Social, he wrote, quote, "This is nothing more than the latest corrupt chapter in the continued pathetic attempt by the Biden crime family and their weaponized Department of Justice to interfere with the 2024 presidential election, in which President Trump is the undisputed frontrunner, leading by a substantial margin."
So that's
Trump's quote, I guess.
Biden DOJ going after him, baby. Mm-hmm. What can I say?
I also love the idea of the Biden crime family. Like, I thought he was sleepy. I thought it was sleepy.
You're really telling me he's this big fucking mastermind, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah, Hunter Biden's over here coked out of his mind. He's not running a crime syndicate. Joe Biden, I thought Joe Biden was sleepy.
I thought he was the big man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I thought the big guy was in the room with us right now.
Pick a narrative, bro. Just pick a narrative. He does face prison time if this charge sticks.
Holy shit.
And this one seems like the most damning. Like, it seems like we started with that Manhattan case.
Uh-huh.
The porn star, Stormy Daniels.
Yes.
We started with that case, and that one was like, nothing much is going to happen.
It's right, like, here. Okay, adultery.
And then we got the documents case for Trump.
Hush money.
Yeah. Was it hush? Yeah,
I think Stormy Daniels was hush money.
Yeah, and the FEC was involved, stuff like that. And then we got the documents case when we're like, oh, yeah, he's sharing the nation's secrets with other people. We got him on recording. And then we got the January 6th case. It seems like he's cooked.
Like, obstruction of justice, doing so many things, just all this. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's Trump so good. I did like the truth that he put on Truth Social where he said, they're coming for me, now we're going to come for them, or some shit like that. Did you see
Trump
that one?
That?
Trump posted on Truth Social something. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was like, okay, if they're going to do this to me, we're going to do something to them, or we're going to come for them. And I was like, bro, you can't be saying that shit. After, and I know... what is it, prosecution?
That's like pretty close to sedition.
Yeah, prosecution took it, and they're submitting it to the judge, I think.
That's what I love about Donald Trump.
They're gonna get him remanded.
Bro cannot help himself. Like, when you're committing a crime, right? Like, there's certain things you need to do to get the crime done. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He does way more than necessary to get the crime complete, and he still fails at doing
and
that.
And he makes sure he tells people about
and
it.
And I think it's hilarious. I love him for it.
It's really good.
I love him for
it's
it.
It's really good.
Yeah, but Trump's got quite the full year coming up. There was a timeline that was released by, I think it was like Time Magazine or something like that. So August 10th, he just appeared, or he's going to appear in Florida for more of the document charges. Yeah. He's got to appear in a court for that. And there's also, same day, a hearing in Georgia for a state probe into that perfect phone call that we talked about earlier. So he's facing a case federally and state in Georgia for that perfect phone call where he's like, give me the executive
votes
I need. Yeah, no, he's
Buddy's cooked.
August 23rd, of course, is the debates, which, let's be real, no one's going to bring this up.
No.
Because they don't like talking about it. August 28th is the first January 6th hearing. This shit's moving quickly. September 27th is the second GOP debate. In February and March, of course, is early primary, Super Tuesday, that kind of thing. And then May 20th, right now, this is what it's set as, is the classified documents trial. And then later on, we'll probably get more trial for the January 6th stuff. So he's got a busy year ahead of him. And his only hope for staying out of jail is becoming president again. Because once he's president, you can't touch him.
Dude has to put his all into this.
Yeah, and he's doing it.
He's going crazy.
Despite all this, he's still the front runner. And like, all I got to say is law and order, baby.
He's popping off. Candidate. He's popping off. And yeah. I got to respect him for it. I got to respect the grind. I got to respect the hustle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Before we move on from this topic, though, I do want to talk a little bit about how Republicans are responding to the Trump indictment. As you can expect, reporters are asking Republicans questions like, what do you think about this?
Uh-huh.
Some of them are just unprompted saying what they think about this, which I think is crazy. I would stay as far away as I can from this, to be honest with you. But first, let's start off with McCarthy, someone who is infamously cucked by Donald Trump. He posted a statement on Twitter or X. Where he said, this is bullet points, by the way. Bullet one, Hunter received money from China, parentheses, contradicting President Biden's claims.
And?
bullet point two, President Biden spoke with Hunter's business I promise this is related. President Biden spoke with Hunter Biden's business associates over 20 times, parentheses, contradicting what Biden previously claimed.
Three, Hunter Biden's
is girthy. I mean,
everybody's cog is fucking girthy, and I saw that shit with my eyes in Congress. Marjorie showed me.
Third bullet point, Biden's DOJ tried to secretly give Hunter broad immunity and admitted the sweetheart deal was unprecedented. And just yesterday, a new poll showed President Trump is without a doubt Biden's leading political opponent. Everyone in America, everyone in America could see what's going to come next. DOJ's attempt to distract from the news and attack the frontrunner for the Republican nomination, President Trump. House Republicans will continue to uncover the truth about Biden Incorporated and the two-tier criminal justice system. Still choking on the shaft, I can see.
On Hunter's shaft,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, choking on Hunter's shaft and the Trump shaft. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and Jim Jordan offered similar sentiments, just saying Trump did nothing wrong. He's our president. You know, political prosecution, weaponization of the DOJ, that kind of thing. It's all the same from them. And then DeSantis also posted a statement on Twitter where he said, quote, as president, I will end the weaponization of the government, replace the FBI director, and ensure a single standard of justice for all Americans.
For sure.
While I've seen reports, I have not read the indictment. I do, though, believe we need to enact reforms so that Americans can have the right to remove cases from Washington, D.C. to their home districts. Washington, D.C. is a swamp, and it's unfair to have to stand trial before a jury that is reflective of the swamp mentality. One of the reasons our country's in decline is because of the politicals that, yeah, it's just all the same shit, basically.
Yeah, just talking points.
Yeah, boring shit. And for DeSantis, we all know he's lagging behind like 40 points, 30 points in the polls.
We all know he sucks.
He's not doing very well. He's about to be overcome by fucking Nikki Haley or Vivek Ramaswamy or something like that. I felt like, and we've said this before, for all of Trump's document cases or you know, every time he's been indicted, this is your chance, big dog, to like, say, like,
make
Trump
yourself
should
stand
be the
out.
One. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
This is your chance to say Trump isn't the one, to say Trump's not the one fit for the job. But I feel like you can't make the argument that the DOJ is corrupt and going after Trump, and therefore you should be president. You'd think that the victim should be president because he's the one being targeted, so he could fit whatever.
But he doesn't even attack it from like the only angle that you can really do that in is like, okay, yeah, what happened to Trump is unjust, but he had his chance.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody else needs to come through and get done what he couldn't do.
Right.
But he and his team can't even think to say that.
Yeah, he doesn't even go that far.
No.
Because like what DeSantis has said so far, it's along the lines of Trump didn't drain the swamp well enough. That's why it's coming after him now. But they never make the case why it shouldn't just be Trump to go back in and pursue the swamp even more.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
You need to make the case why he shouldn't have a second chance.
Yeah.
And why you're the guy that should be able to get in and be able to drain the swamp. You need to argue about, like, some fundamental thing that Trump just can't do that you can do better.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great. Tim Scott basically said the same thing, by the way, which is like, Tim, what are we doing, man?
Relevant.
You need to catch up more than anybody else. If you want any shot at being president, you got to catch up.
Ron's far behind, but he's number two.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You are way further back there.
You have a lot more leeway in what you can say. Like, it's not going to cost you in the polls, big dog.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. You might as well try. But basically, nobody's dunking on Trump. I didn't think anybody would, but mm-hmm. I guess I held out hope for someone to be like, you know, maybe this is where we should abandon Trump, but that's... It's not happening. They're all standing behind him.
That's so dumb. I feel like the craziest thing about DeSantis is that he does just want it both ways. On one hand, he says shit like this, where he's defending Trump. He refuses to go after him. But on the other hand, per the Washington Post, on Friday at an Iowa campaign event, when asked about Trump's election denial shenanigans, he offered his strongest repudiation so far by saying, quote, "I've seen many times the election is what it is. I've said many times the election is what it is. All of those theories that were put out did not prove to be true," end quote. He then went on to say the 2020 election wasn't, quote, "conducted in the way I think we want," and then said election officials were ballot harvesting and social media companies stifled information.
Which is it?
What is it? You gotta pick one. You can't say both in the same statement, but it doesn't end there. He then continued to say, quote, "but that's different than saying Maduro stole votes or something like that. Those theories, you know, proved to be unsubstantiated."
What the fuck? So there is a election theft going on. Democrats did steal the election, but it wasn't Hugo Chavez
Chavez. But like when Trump said that part, he was like wrong about that. But there were other things that were going on. But also, it didn't go the way we want. That doesn't mean it's stolen. So that doesn't mean that he's the rightful president.
Mm-hmm.
But also, guys, vote for me. But also,
God, he sucks.
I can't attack Trump. But please give it to me both ways.
Ron DeSantis sucks so bad.
He's trying to talk through the shaft.
Doesn't he know that in a crowded field, you got to stand out?
Yeah.
You got to pick a side. Like,
I think he sanded out really well when in the same event, a reporter asked him if he watched the indictment, and Mr. Da Election kind of wasn't stolen, but it also kind of was, said that he didn't watch coverage of the arraignment on Thursday because he was overseeing an execution.
Sorry, I was killing somebody.
Sorry, I was watching the light fade from someone's eyes, so I couldn't check on my political opponent because that's what I wanted to be doing.
You could have lied. You could have said you were spending time with your beautiful wife. You could have said you were hanging out with your kids, but no, I was killing somebody.
Or you
could have
been like, I don't know, I wasn't really worried about it. I wasn't really worried about it. That's not on my mind. I'll catch up later. I was spending time with my family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was getting a beer, chicken back, and relaxing.
I was on the campaign trail. I was doing my hard work as governor of Florida. No, I was killing someone.
I stared someone's eyes while they fucking died.
This is why I said earlier in the episode that no one from Florida can ever be president of the United States.
No.
They're just too insane.
And this is also just like part of the media training that he clearly does not have. Because why the fuck would you say that?
How did he get to being governor, dog? Oh, man. I didn't follow the 2018 race very closely, but Jesus Christ, that guy must have not. Maybe it was gerrymandering. Maybe it was something else. But
the other guy must have sucked.
And try very hard.
The Democrat must have been
especially because I saw Ron DeSantis was not doing the same thing. And obviously it wasn't highlighted as much because he wasn't a national person at this point. But he was being just as racist as he always is, DeSantis, and he still won. So I don't know.
And
that was
before he had COVID to kind of like ride the coattails of. So he had to get in on his own merits.
Basic conservative politics.
Yeah. What merits?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can't wait to watch people die.
Yeah, Florida is really just a fucking trash heap for politics.
Uh-huh.
It's a really, really sucky place.
And you know, in keeping with that, the last couple weeks we've been covering the Florida Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? 2 weeks ago, we had them saying that sometimes slavery was good because mm-hmm. some slaves maybe learned skills that that maybe help them later in life.
Ronda slavery wasn't so bad.
Here's a list of slaves that we lied about.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Here's a list of slaves that don't apply to the new policy.
Here's a list of slaves. Some weren't slaves. Here's a list of slaves who did other things. They didn't learn those skills in slavery.
Oh, fuck.
But then the week after, last week, we covered how PragerU is now an official vendor.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, the Florida Department of Education decided to ban AP psychology from just all Florida schools because it teaches some lessons about sexual identity, gender identity, and sexual orientation.
Well, you know, freedom is when you restrict what people can learn about. Freedom exactly. is when you take away one of like the most basic AP courses that tons of students take.
Exactly. Freedom is when you take away, I think, the fifth most popular AP course, just like ever.
Yeah. I loved AP psych.
Freedom is when you take away a high schooler's ability to get college credit while still in high school and I don't know, enrich their mind.
Did he give a reason for this? Did DeSantis give a reason?
Because there are lessons on gender identity and sexual orientation within AP psychology.
What
fucking
lesson?
You don't even fucking remember what they were, because they were probably just like, yeah, some people are socialized into their gender.
The conservative stance on like being gay or being a part of the LGBTQ now, like, it used to be that they would say like, oh, they're just confused, or oh, they need help, right? It was this like kind of like a parental point of view towards the LGBTQ, but now it's literally like, I don't want to see it at all.
Never.
We're taking it out. We are using the power of the state to make it so kids never learn about it in an AP course.
We are using the power of the state to make sure that kids can't take an elective course to maybe learn about this in, I don't know, a quarter of one unit, which takes up, like, I don't know, a week of the entire school year.
Yeah, no, it talking about sexual orientation and gender identity, I promise you, is not a big part of AP psychology.
Yeah.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
You learn about neurons and other shit and the chemicals in your brain.
Like fucking psychosocial development, Piaget, shit like that.
You maybe get like a unit on sociology, maybe.
It's corny, but yeah, the Florida Department of Education straight up said that it is illegal to teach about things in Florida schools because of the parental rights bill that they passed last year, which is better known as the Don't Say Gay bill.
Okay.
So because of the Don't Say Gay bill, and because Ron DeSantis chose to extend it instead of having a ban from K through 3 all the way up K through 12, you can't talk about anything related to gender identity and sexual orientation within Florida high schools. Obviously, only the gay stuff. They're going to let you be straight because these are only meant to target gay people.
Right.
But that's another banger.
Yeah,
from Florida,
There's some crazy bills out of Florida. You got the Don't Say Gay law that takes away the ability for kids K through 12, of course, to learn about sexuality or gender identity in schools. There's also the Stop Woke Act, which is the other one I was thinking of that makes it so businesses can't require diversity trainings.
Yeah.
Also, Florida is going after not Disney, but Bud Light. Right now.
They're going after Bud Light?
Florida right now is going after Bud Light because they did the thing with Dylan Mulvaney. The Instagram ad with Dylan Mulvaney.
We're going to go after a private company for paying a like private individual influencer just because they were trans?
I think DeSantis's argument, and it's crazy that he thinks this appeals to like the broad electorate. I think DeSantis's argument is that Bud Light violated their fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders by engaging in like what social wokeness or whatever, rather than just blatantly pursuing profits. But it's like, it's very easy to make the argument that a marketing tactic is meant to bring in profits.
Yeah, I'm going to say, can we just point at any failed marketing tactic and say that, oh, sue the company now?
Right.
Can we just go after any marketing campaign that didn't do as well?
Only if it's gay or trans.
Only the gay ones.
Only if it's gay or trans. Also, got to point out the irony, not very small government of Ron DeSantis.
No, absolutely. Going after a private company?
I thought it was hands-off.
Or public, I guess.
I thought it was hands-off, let private business do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Bud Light doing one marketing thing with a trans person on fucking Instagram Reels or whatever, then it's over.
That's well because, you know, this company is publicly traded and you can buy stocks. They can't fuck with gay people.
Well, an ad, mind you, that I didn't see until they told
trans
me I
people,
had
LGBTQ
to.
People. Yeah, I never would have known about this.
Exactly.
I never would have known. I didn't even know who Dylan Mulvaney was.
Yeah, I
until
wish I
this
didn't.
Happened.
I wish I didn't.
Exactly. And not because she's like bad or anything, just because like, why would I?
Yeah.
Why would I?
Yeah, no, it was
it's so fucking silly. And I mean, still, it's also like AP psychology is a course you take in like what, 11th, 12th grade?
Mm-hmm.
You're already gay at that point. Are you worried about indoctrinating the youth?
Oh, that's a good ass point.
You already, like, most people already know by that point. Most, not everybody. Of like, course. I get it, but come on. Yeah. These are like 16, 17, 18 year olds. Are you really going to indoctrinate them by telling them that, like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe gender roles are things you're socialized into?
Uh-huh. Well, and it's like, I love how there's this implication under all of DeSantis's Department of Education policies that mere exposure to the idea of gender identity mm-hmm. is suddenly going to make kids trans. That's obviously not how it works.
Yeah.
Like the obvious, like I didn't learn about gay people existing in society uh-huh. and then think, oh yeah, I must be gay.
Oh shit.
It didn't happen. you discover yourself. It's not something that's influenced by what you learn about in school mm-hmm. unless you were probably already a part of the LGBTQ and you now just have labels to attach to it.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important to teach kids about it so that they know that they're not weird or I don't know, malfunctioning, so that they're accepted in society.
So that they can engage in that self-discovery and yeah. have the tools to accurately assess who they are and what their identity is.
Especially in AP psychology, it's supposed to be like an academic pursuit, a college level course.
And then it's an elective.
Yeah, you don't have to take it.
Absolutely no student is ever required to take an AP course, like, ever.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Well, and it's just like them taking books like Gender Queer uh-huh. out of the library. Like, this isn't required curriculum. You don't have to read it. You don't got to take these courses.
Nobody that didn't already know about this book is going to the library and checking it out. Like,
the only reason they would go after gender identity in AP courses is because they don't want anybody to be exposed to these ideas at all, because mm-hmm. they want to erase trans people from existence.
Exactly.
That's the only reason.
And it's like, so College Board has to pull out because the Florida yeah. Department of Education said, you can't teach about this. It's illegal. You have to alter your curriculum. They can't. This yeah. is for college credit. So yeah. in this Catch-22, it's either alter it and get away from this collegiate standard that they're trying to have, this accredited standard yeah. at almost any institution that they're trying to have, or just get out of the state. And yeah. now they have to get out of the state.
Yeah, well, and it's just like we covered the AP African American Studies course
yep.
that was going to be in Florida schools. They were test piloting it in one high school, and DeSantis said, nope, can't do that. Or I guess his Board of Education, but they do what he wants.
Exactly.
They said, no, you can't do that because it's woke or whatever. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it teaches you that black people struggled in America or fucking whatever it his teaches reasoning
you that,
is.
It doesn't teach you that black people learned valuable skills during their time as yeah. enslaved peoples that they could use later in life.
If DeSantis had better political instincts, then we'd be in trouble, because this is like what fascists do, right?
And it's
they
also
limit what you can learn about through academic pursuits because they want some ideas to be unavailable to people.
Mm-hmm. Right. AP psychology is just the most banal course,
yeah.
too. Like, it's just there.
Yeah.
That's really it. It's been there for 30 years. No one has ever had a problem with AP psychology. Motherfuckers love AP psychology because it's one of, like, the easy APs.
Yeah. It is an easy AP, yeah.
That's it.
And it's, like, it's fun to learn about the
exactly.
human brain.
And it helps you pad your resume to get into colleges. Mm-hmm. And now they're just taking that away from Florida kids.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and a lot of people, when they get into college as a gen ed requirement, have to take like a psych course
exactly.
or something along those lines. And taking AP psychology allows you to get past that pretty immediately, get a step up in college.
Exactly.
I thought you could get ahead, more opportunity for
Instead
you.
Instead of paying like thousands of dollars for a course, you pay like $200 for the AP test at the
exactly.
end of the year.
Yeah.
You take it over a longer period of time, so it's like way easier. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You're just fucking over Florida students.
And, again, I have to emphasize that none of this is in the pursuit of actually making the education system better or safer mm-hmm. for children. It is all just to bar people from learning about the existence of trans or gay people.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, I mean, kind of comedically, you already know about them at that point. And you
exactly.
probably, and for a lot of people, they already know if they are gay or trans or a part of the LGBTQ in some way by that point.
Like, they can't, it's because they can't hide this rhetoric around the veil of, like, protecting young children, which yeah. is already wrong anyway. They already do it disingenuously. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that, you are not protecting a young kid by telling them that gay people don't exist.
Right.
You're actively hurting them, really. Yeah. But
yeah.
these are high schoolers.
Yeah.
These are people who are about to go off into college or 17-year-olds. Yeah, or are about to work or do already work mm-hmm. and can be on their own.
Yeah.
Functioning within society. And you're going to say it's not appropriate to teach them about that? These kids are out there fucking like rabbits. Like, yeah.
yeah. Well, and it's like, like you mentioned, it's so, I guarantee you, I mean, I took AP Psych years and years ago.
Yeah.
I don't even remember learning about gender identity during it. I guarantee you it was just like a very small portion of one lesson, one day.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they had the word like homosexuality in there or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they taught that like homosexuality isn't listed as a disorder in the DSM-5 anymore because that was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Or they're just like, you
or
know,
DSM-4, whatever.
Yeah, or they teach you about the existence of transgender people.
Yeah.
In passing.
Yeah.
God, that's so yeah, that's Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute state of Florida education is, I wonder what they're going to come out with next week.
I don't know, but I love that they did this, especially because my memory of AP Psych is mostly learning about experiments that were done to like learn about human psychology and how to do experiments on your own.
Yeah.
Like that seems like pretty vital information that exposes you to how research and studies work pretty early on. That seems pretty important for learning things. Uh-huh. I don't know. The scientific method is, it can be faulty, but it's a good one.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's important to understand like, studies. Things we learned in the Enlightenment, I don't know, X hundred years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
What are you going to do? But in keeping with education,
mm-hmm.
we're going to take a trip up north, but a little down south from us, and land in Ohio.
Okay. Worst place to be.
Worst place to be. It's pretty bad.
I would put it at like 49 out of 50.
Although
Florida, below it.
This story makes it a little okayer to be stuck in Ohio. So basically, a Virginia-based conservative group that calls themselves... Notice I said Virginia-based, but this is a story out of Ohio.
No reason being there.
Very important there. A Virginia-based conservative group that calls themselves Parents Defending Education recently filed a lawsuit alleging that in Ohio school district's harassment policy was unconstitutional because it included transgender people as a protected class and forbid discrimination / harassment on the basis of that identity.
I love how they're just openly saying, like, no, I can discriminate against trans people.
I can, and that's what this is. Basically, yeah. Their argument, their literal argument within the case is that I can misgender you.
Yeah.
I have a First Amendment right to misgender you. My kid can misgender you, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same argument as, like, I have a First Amendment right to say the N-word to people.
Exactly.
I have a First Amendment right to verbally harass people.
Like no,
you don't.
You straight up don't.
Yeah.
Like, well, especially, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, this is this for schools?
This is for a school.
Yeah, it's for, like, obviously you don't want harassment in a goddamn school. Yeah. These are kids trying to learn.
Like, what, can you not have bullying policies anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you just allowed to tease kids? No, this is just staked on kids being transgender.
Yeah.
And it's silly. It's just, I can misgender you. I don't have to respect your pronouns. You do.
Yeah, you do.
You do, and you should.
And see, like, some people, some, like, more centrist people, more moderate people who still, like, respect LGBTQ people but may not want to go as far as to, like, legislate what people can say.
Yeah.
They'll often think, like, you know, obviously we should respect people, but it goes a little bit too far limiting, like, how you can talk to other people. How do you think we get rid of discrimination in society, mm-hmm. if not with the use of policies and the law? That's how, I mean, that's what the civil rights movement was all about. That's how we've gotten rid of, or how we've minimized, I guess, discrimination for other groups. And that's how we are going to protect trans people as well, yeah, by making, like, them a protected class.
It gets crazier because on misgendering, when you look at it, everyone gets upset when they're misgendered.
Yes.
It's especially in school. Like, kids misgender other kids all the time. That's just not what we call it.
Yeah.
When a little boy goes up to another little boy and sees that that kid is playing with, like, a doll and teases them for being a girl, and it makes that little boy upset, they're misgendering them. Mm-hmm. And that's why they feel upset. When some boy goes up to a little girl and is like, oh, you're dressing like a dude today, you must be a boy, ha ha, you're a boy.
Yeah.
We recognize that as a form of bullying and harassment because it is. And what we call that, what it is, but people refuse to call it, is misgendering.
Yeah.
Certain conservatives refuse to extend that thinking to transgender people because they can't get past the idea of, I don't know, not hating a transgender kid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You get upset when you're misgendered. If I walked up to a blue-collar dude and walked up like, oh, what's up, sissy? What's up, little sissy bitch girl?
Yeah.
He'd get upset at me, rightfully so, because I'm choosing to misgender him. I'm harassing him on the basis of his identity. It's the same fucking thing.
And you got to remember this in the context that there's so few trans people, especially, like, in schools.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of people, by that point, they don't know they're trans, or they haven't engaged in changes in their behavior, changes in what they wear, how they look, that kind of thing. So they don't usually present as trans. They don't really know. Like, it's such, like, a small portion of student bodies throughout every high school, throughout the entire country, that policies to protect these students exist so that those few students don't feel alienated from the rest of the school.
And it's crazy that just a Virginia group can come in from outside the state, go into Ohio, and just try and bring up a lawsuit to get rid of this, to get rid of a harassment policy. This is how bold that some conservatives are now.
Yeah.
They're willing to do this. And the judge, right, federal judge, rightfully dismissed the case, said you have no ground to stand on whatsoever. You can't fucking harass people.
Yeah, watch it go to the Supreme Court.
They're appealing, so it very well could be, and I'd be scared. But yeah. I just want to get it out there that, yeah, misgendering is not only against trans people. Mm-hmm. You get upset when you're misgendered as well. If you're a woman and you put on a blazer and somebody, well, what are you, a fucking man, huh? What are you, slanging a cock around in there? Mm-hmm. You'd get upset, rightfully so. That's harassment.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, well, and not, it's like, okay.
In the high school we went to, obviously, again, as I said, very few trans people. Yeah. But for the people that I did know that were trans, teachers were generally pretty accepting of who they were.
Yeah.
They would go along with names they wanted to be called, pronouns that mm-hmm. the person wanted to use. But I would imagine these kinds of policies exist for the very few, or maybe in Ohio a lot, but for those select teachers that don't want to go along with
teachers
names
and
that
other
students want to be called. And so the policies are necessary to protect yeah. students, the very few students, from perhaps the very few teachers that are going to harass them, call them by the wrong name, make them feel uncomfortable in the mm-hmm. classroom, because surprise, surprise, students aren't going to learn very well if they don't feel safe. And if your identity, the core of who you are,
yeah.
isn't safe in a classroom, you're not learning anything.
It's just wild to see conservatives take a principled stance for bullying.
Yeah. 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 No, yeah, we're in favor of bullying.
100%. Golly, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy story.
It's a pretty crazy story. And I got a little bit of, to round out the show, you know, I got a little bit of.
That was a misfire.
Beyond parody is a little bit of misfire there. We got a little beyond parody today. And today I want to go over to, I want to think Tennessee.
Okay.
Where a GOP primary winner, David Hooven, has vowed to never be alone with, quote, a member of another sex if elected to the state's House of Representatives.
It's the Mike Pence right there.
He said, quote, from presidents to janitors, all are tempted. Hooven made the pledge on his original official campaign website, where he said that if elected, my primary focus will be to honor God.
That's crazy. Maybe that's what we need in office.
Bro's telling on himself.
He's denouncing temptations.
That's crazy.
Maybe we need more of that kind of responsibility and pure focus.
Exactly.
On the goal in hand.
You know, when all these false allegations are getting thrown around everywhere, he's just got to protect himself. Because women lie all the time, guys.
I fucking hate dudes like this.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what if I get falsely accused of doing something? I'm never going to be around a woman, and I'm, as this person in a position of power, I'm going to deny women access to positions where they could be in power
yeah.
because I can't trust myself around them.
You know, dog, you won't get accused if you just don't do anything.
Exactly.
Like, okay, sure, there are very few cases of women lying about harassment uh-huh. taking place, but that is such a small portion of a much broader problem, yeah. which is men being awful towards women.
It's very much on the margins of the issue.
Yeah. Just, like, don't harass somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Statistically insignificant, dare I
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Just don't do it. And there's laws in place that punish people for lying about that kind of thing. Like, you can't go into a court of law and just lie. That's perjury.
Yeah.
So just don't harass people. It's kind of simple.
Dude, it's good. He said, quote, I will never be in a meeting room or other place if a member of another sex, with a member of another sex, without having another person with me. Look at this guy honoring God.
Yeah.
Look at this guy really honoring God by never fucking talking to women ever.
Yeah, that's going to make his, you said he's elected where? Tennessee?
He won the GOP primary. He no challenge. There was no challenger. Okay. So he just kind of got in, you know. He's going to be the Republican candidate for some district in Tennessee.
Okay, so like local government, state government?
I think it's state government. Let me check.
Because, like, is he just never going to have a meeting with a representative if it's a woman?
Yeah, it's the state's House of Representatives. Yeah.
Like, you're just never going to meet? Like, even if it's in your own party, you're just never going to collaborate?
Nah, they should let this guy in, but then put him on, like, a committee with all women.
He's never showing up. He's going to be fucking petrified. See, man, this is what I'm... Like, we talk about this a lot. I feel like a key component of conservatism nowadays, perhaps always, is just yeah. being super fucking weird about women.
Facts.
Like, any chance they get, they're saying some weird shit about, like, women in politics, women in positions of power, feminist movies like the Barbie movie. Like, they always got some weird ass shit to say. Like, dude, just relax.
They can't help themselves mm-hmm. from saying it, too. They gotta get it out. They gotta let you know exactly how they hate women, exactly how they're gonna disenfranchise women, because mm-hmm. it's a crazy thing to say, because if every man were to act like this, women would never have a job.
Yeah.
No woman would ever be able to hire it anywhere, because everyone's like, well, I can't be with you. I actually can't be. I cannot trust myself to not fuck you right here and now.
Yeah.
I can't trust myself to not sexually harass you.
Yeah, just, dog, just be normal.
Yeah.
Like, for fuck's sake. For Christ's like, sake, even.
For Christ's sake.
Just be normal.
This is not an issue that normal people think about.
Yeah.
Not at all.
God never asked you to do this, big dog.
What if you're...
Don't put that on him. God didn't ask you to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you're in a room with, like, okay, what if you absolutely had to have a meeting with a woman, so you have a staffer come in, and what if that staffer's got to use the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I have to excuse myself with him.
You going
to
go with him?
Sorry, I got to... You going to hold it for him?
Yeah. God, it's just that's what Mike Pence does, right?
I think so. I know it's like an evangelical thing.
He said he won't be in the room with another woman unless his wife is present, or just his wife, or something like that. Like, he won't be alone in a room with another woman that's not his wife, I think is what he does. Which is like, at first was like a weird quirk of Mike Pence. Everyone's like, yeah, it's kind of weird. But now there's another guy doing it.
There's like a couple people that do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a popular evangelical thing.
Yeah, dog, just be normal.
Just fucking chill.
Women are just humans, man. Like, chill out. You don't got to be weird about it.
You don't have to want to fuck every woman you see, and I promise they do not want to fuck you.
Yeah, not if you're acting like that. Holy moly, man.
Imagine just bringing up that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just be like, oh, the thing about the legit, crunching the numbers in your head real quick. I'm going to end up with a woman alone at this time.
Also,
I can't.
It seems like this dude told it to the press.
Yeah.
Like, if that was a real moral conviction you had, you could just keep it to yourself. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
he thinks this is going to win people over.
You could just, you could just, like, design your schedule around this desire, this, like, apparently religious desire to not be in a room alone with a woman. But no, you're making it a spectacle because, I don't know, you think Me Too was a fake movement or AstroTurfed or something.
But it's just like, someone who's running for office, I feel like you wouldn't want to say this when you're running. Maybe Tennessee is like way more, his district in Tennessee is like super hyper religious, but like, what woman is going to vote for you?
Yeah, women are half the electorate, dog. Women vote more than guys do.
There's more women than there are men.
What are you doing? You're kind of throwing. I hope he loses, but Tennessee, he probably won't.
Probably not. Not. He'll probably make it through, but he'll be a character. Also, the two members of the Tennessee Three that got expelled, they're back now. They won their elections.
Oh, sick.
One of them won like 2,000 to 127.
That's crazy.
And the other one won like 5,000 to 2,000 or some shit like that. So they sweeped.
Yeah, no, as expected.
Yeah, they're great people.
Glad to see the Justins back.
Shout out to Justin.
Real heroes
of our time. Justice for
Justin. Yeah, both very young guys, so I hope I see them go on to do more stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they can run for president one day.
Yeah.
Maybe they can...
And don't fumble the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Don't fumble all their media appearances.
I don't think they will. Maybe they can like upend the corporate duopoly. Maybe they can be the vanguard for the revolution.
They can overthrow capitalism.
Yeah, something
shit.
Simple.
Maybe they can institute, like, I don't know, at the very least, like federal rent control.
Yeah, I mean, I'd consider giving my vote, maybe. I don't know. You might have to win me over,
Him or Cornel West, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus Christ. There's been so much of that. Online lately. Like, people actually considering voting for Cornel West. Like, dog, you're throwing.
Like, for what?
Yeah. No,
for
You're just, like, I get it. Corporate duopoly, it sucks.
Like, sure.
But in the range of possibilities right now, it's fascism or fucking Joe Biden. Like, those are your options. Like, look what they got to do with just 4 years. I hate to say it, but if Hillary had won, Roe v. Wade would not be overturned right now.
Exactly.
And I hate Hillary Clinton.
I don't like her, not one bit.
But he got three Supreme Court justice appointments. He got, like, hundreds and hundreds of federal court appointments. That wouldn't have happened, like, had people turned out.
You know what? You should have Pokemon went to the polls.
Uh-huh.
I'll be the first to say it.
And, like,
you should have gone.
Sure. Blame the Democratic Party for not putting up a good candidate. Absolutely. Yeah. We shit on the DNC all the time. But, like, when we're looking at fascism, I guess the way I want to put it is, like, if we want to create conditions that are conducive to, say, passing Medicare for All, a Green New Deal, whatever, it's much more likely to happen under the Democratic Party and neoliberalism or social Democrats. It's much more likely to happen with them in power than it is with a Ron DeSantis or a Donald Trump in power. That's
like,
all it is.
When I'm playing Russian roulette and I'm staring down the barrel of that fucking revolver, when I'm spinning the chamber, I'd rather take a couple bullets out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what voting for Joe Biden is. Like, that's it. Like, that's my stance on it. Everyone's like, I don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Why would I? Because.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, it's you got to. Like, I get it. We don't have ranked choice voting. It makes it very difficult to vote for third parties, and that sucks. I would like people to be able to feel comfortable voting for third parties. But when the option is Donald Trump or potentially Ron DeSantis, if he somehow gets his shit together.
I don't know. He's not. He's going to be an option at this point. Honestly, maybe he's the best option. Maybe it'd be easier to beat Ron DeSantis than it would Donald Trump.
We're completely
Trump
switching up. But when those are the options, when it's fascism or Joe Biden, like the choice is pretty clear.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to gain anything by voting for Cornel West, unfortunately.
Maybe if you're in New York, go ahead and you can sit on your high horse. And but like,
I'm not even
California.
I'm not even
like
confident at this point in Cornel West because he did his reveal on fucking Russell Brand show.
Yeah,
that dude is a fascist. Like he leans into the fascist rhetoric at the
he
very
least. He
was
doing a bunch of anti-vax shit, wasn't yeah. he? When COVID, isn't that well? Obviously, Russell Brand didn't blow up by doing the anti-vax shit. I already know he's been a famous person forever, but like politically, I feel like he blew up with his little show doing anti-vax stuff, and he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's all like the critique of like corporate domination without a critique of capitalism structurally, yeah. right? It all kind of just feeds into anti-Semitism
and
without a real critique.
He's super conspiratorial.
Yeah.
And you know, with those types, all roads lead back to the Jews.
Yeah, no, exactly.
All roads lead back to the global cabal.
Yeah, lots of Cornel West discourse. Don't vote third party. Don't vote for RFK Jr.
Yeah.
If you want to vote against Joe Biden, you can vote for Marianne Williamson if you really want to.
Yeah, can't wait to see RFK Jr. on the DNC debate stage.
Yeah.
That's going to be good.
They're not even doing debates. That'd be kind of fun, though.
Oh, I forgot that they weren't doing debates.
I would have a good time watching those.
I would have liked it. Yeah. I would have. It'd have been like, you know what? I couldn't even say it'd be a palate cleanser from the JP debates because I'm excited for those genuinely.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's going to be a great time. Coming up very soon, just in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, also, follow up on a story we covered before. There's going to be the Ohio election on Tuesday.
Yes.
This episode, obviously, coming out on Wednesday, but we can cover those results later on. Pretty important for Ohio democracy.
I have heard that special elections so far within the last couple months have been almost overwhelmingly blue.
That makes sense.
A really good sign going forward. So that's dope.
I think everyone in their mind has been like, oh, special election must mean something for abortion. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta. Because GOP trying to take your rights away.
Again, women, over half the electorate. So. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of this episode.
It do. It do.
And before we go, as always, got to give a special thanks to the people who keep the lights on, to the people who allow us to do this week in and week out.
People who help me pay my rent.
Exactly.
Who help me pay my car payment.
Exactly. We got bills to pay.
That's right.
And we got patrons to thank.
We're big boys now.
That's right.
Come on. But undergraduates far, far behind me.
Yeah, it's underneath me now.
I'm a postgraduate now. I got adult stuff to worry about.
I got stuff to do. I got pods to cast.
And I got to thank all of these people for helping me keep the lights on and do all that. So special thanks to Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Talia Kotz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vezquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Pump, Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Gregory Isn't My Name, Veriuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Crawfishin, Bennington III, Alexi Benanti, Neach, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Benji Biro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Cucker Tarlson,
Daniel Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Signs, Aaron and His Gundam, Gundam's Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, L.E.N., John Glover, Weed Thief 69, Devin Hatchard, Retro Mondo, Meatball Minion, Emma the Dude Slayer, Claire McMillan, Breezy B, Elijah Murray, Veronica, a.k.a. V, Raxon, Ashmith, The Grotler, Magic Ian 95, Flower Clown, Jasper and Garrus, Beetlebugs, Three Crows in a Trench Coat, Lonnie Rogers, Slavic and Sapphic, Casey Lynn Kelly, Snake Eyes, and Hope of Giants, a.k.a. Gone, Aquana Dawn, Zach Lantian, Info Russell, Austin Greif, Marcus Corbett, Caleb Roper, Dustin Waldron, Taylor Rensock, Ishi Teddy, Cammy, Calliope, Reagan, Not Like the President, Pagan Jester, Tylen Freeman, Steak Daddy, Tay Tay, Chill Cascade, Isaac Hodges, Madeline C, Pab the Pab 69, Kayla Lowe, Anik Volinik, and my mom. Thank you all so much for supporting the show on Patreon. We just updated the list. If you didn't hear your name, hit us up.
Harass us.
If we said your name wrong, hit us up.
Please.
But do it in a kind way, because we try our best.
Yeah, exactly. You know I'm what I mean? Hard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got a full-time job on top of this.
As much as we're orators, as much as we wheel and deal in rhetoric.
As much
pronunciation, not my strong suit.
As much as I'm a rhetorician, I know how to use my words. However, I may not know exactly how to say those words
Exactly. It's a real, the duality of man, really.
It's a struggle, really. A paradox, if you will.
The best laid plans of mice and men. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Have a good week.